Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. As we close out the week, I'd like to bring more uplifting content to you. And today's video is something I've never done before. And this is really something you could construe as a Bible study. I've got a healthy American and friend, Pastor Ken Kemble of KPAC Bible Church. And I posed the question to him, why do people put their faith in the government instead of in God? And I would love to hear your response to that question as well. So I realize that some of you may be looking for headlines or political topics or something about vaccinations or religious exemptions. And yes, this is a departure from my usual content. And I hope that you will enjoy this Bible study with Pastor Ken Kemble as much as I enjoyed interviewing him for this broadcast.
I went through the door of this antique shop. The first thing they said to me was, "Where's your mask?" Right? I said, I don't have a mask. What do you mean? You can't be in here without a mask. And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were allergic to money. I'll go spend mine somewhere else."
Perfect.
They wanted the churches closed. Why was a liquor store okay to go to, but not a church? You see, but that's how it was all across the nation. We never did shut our doors. And I thought for a time we were the only ones, but I praise God. There was a lot of churches that had their doors open. But some, they closed their churches down. They closed their doors for a little while anyway, just because it was so scary. I mean, they made it seem like if you get together, your people are going to die. Ah! No. People woke up to that pretty quick with your help. I mean, I've always, from the beginning, I thought you had a great ministry to Americans and really people all over the world. It's like my wife was at Walmart and, she was in there without, she actually had a face on her face. She had a face. And someone saw her and said to her, "You don't have a mask on." And she said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Well, they let you in here?" "I'm in here." "So they didn't tell you to leave?" "Nope." I didn't ask him either. So he took his mask off.
Fantastic.
See, my wife encouraged someone because she had a face. Now he's got a face.
To have Pastor Kemble come on the show and to encourage all of us and to help answer the question why people turn to the government instead of God. So that's going to be what we're talking about tonight, Pastor Kemble, and how we can give encouragement to those who are living in fear, feeling that they are waking up to dread every day and really giving over their joy, their peace to the enemy. So thank you for shining light on what is going on and how we can stand strong and not fall prey to the enemy.
Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Peggy. It's so good to be with you again, and really appreciate you and what you do. I almost called it your ministry. Really, it is your ministry. You're helping people. You're opening people's eyes, or you're helping them to open their eyes. And you and Pastor David both. And so we sure appreciate what you're doing. And I told you way back at the beginning, I said, I really believe that God has chosen you for such a time as this to do what you're doing, and God bless you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve truth. I want to serve the healthy Americans and help them read between the lines, as I say, and not fall prey to giving in, giving up, and giving over their freedom to the government.
Yeah, I love the way you say that, read between the lies. And there's a lot of lies out there. And we've got to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's one of the hallmarks of my ministry, is we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We can't trust in princes, presidents, whatever. We got to put our trust and our hope in the Lord.
Why are people so inclined to trust the government, to look to the government, to look to these, I call them public serpents when they're serving evil, to look for these individuals as their saviors, as their heroes?
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. It really is, because men are flawed. I mean, we're all flawed. And it's really a problem, and it's always been a problem. Believe it or not, it's always been a problem. Way back in the time of Samuel, the people had God as their king. The Israelites had God as their king, and Samuel was his prophet. And he was about to appoint, he was appointing judges. But the people said, no, Samuel, you're old. I can just read it. Can I read this? 1 Samuel chapter 8. And I'm going to begin at verse 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. I'm going to put my helpers on here.
Yes.
And the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second, Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Does that sound familiar? It sounds familiar to me. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel in Ramah. And they said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Okay, so the Israelites wanted a king. They didn't want God for their king anymore. I mean, they might not have thought about it like that, but that's what they were saying to Samuel. You're old. We need a king like all the other nations of the earth. We need a king. So this displeased Samuel. Samuel wasn't happy with this, and he shouldn't have been. As they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So God's people had God as their king. They really had it made. They had it made. God was watching over them. He spoke to them through his prophet Samuel. But that wasn't good enough. They wanted to be like all the other nations of the world and have an earthly king. It displeased Samuel, and it should have. And I'm sure it hurt the Lord. I'm sure God was disappointed. But he said to Samuel, give them what they want. Give them a king. But listen to this. He said, this is what's going to happen if you have a king. Verse 9, listen to their voice, howbeit yet protest to them solemnly, and show them the manner of king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him of a king, that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He'll take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots, and he shall appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties. And we'll set them to ear his ground, to take care of his crops and everything. Let me just, in my own words, so God is telling Samuel, you tell my people, I'm going to give you a king like you asked. God said to. But this is what's going to happen. They're going to make your life miserable. They're going to take your money. They're going to take your sons and your daughters. He'll make your daughters to be confectionaries and make them to be cooks and bakers. And he'll take of your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants, and he will take them And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your manservants and your maidservants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep. I mean, this is what happens when we trust in government. See, they didn't want God for their king. They wanted a king like all the other people of the earth. God said, give them a king, but it's not going to go, tell them it's not going to go well for them. It's not going to go well for them. And then he says something really interesting. He says, for Samuel to tell them, ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. You wanted that king, you got the king. And when you cry out because of the way he's treating you, I'm not going to listen because I told you. You chose the king over me. Well, I think that's what we have done, you know. And people want to trust in government. It's really ridiculous because, honestly, who trusts government? I don't know of anybody really that truly trusts the government. So why would people put their hope and trust in the government? Why would they even think such a thing? Our help comes from the Lord. And, you know, I think a lot of Christians, they thought Trump's the answer. Okay. And they've thought this of many people, okay, not just Trump. They always have their favorite candidate. And, you know, I've asked myself in the past, should Christians vote? I think we should. I think we should be politically involved. But at the end of the day, really, we can't put our hope and our trust in the government. We have to put our hope and trust in God. Amen.
Amen, Pastor Kemble. It seems like some people are living in fear and they are looking for others to be responsible for them. And that's what we saw in the, not only in the early days of all the hogwash that was sloshed all over us, but continuing until today, almost as if some individuals didn't develop the confidence or the wherewithal or the ability to. What I'm trying to say here is they're looking for someone else to make those decisions for them, to be responsible for them, whether it's looking for their doctor to tell them, you know, to get the jab or not, their employer, you know, a loved one, rather than pray about it and have God through his Holy Spirit direct the path. That is what I feel is so troubling to me.
Yeah, it is. And it doesn't really make sense. I mean, just look at government's track record and then look at God's track record. I mean, it's just really a no-brainer. We should trust in God. And I don't really know what the answer is except to put our faith and our hope and our trust in God. I mean, that's the only answer that I can see. I don't think that government will ever get to the point to where, you know, we can trust them completely. And there's people that say we should always obey government, always, no matter what. And they will cite Romans chapter 13. And you know, I'll go to Romans chapter 13 because there are people, there's a lot of people that say, but Pastor, you know, we're supposed to obey government. It says so in Romans chapter 13. Let's just go there. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. In other words, God sets it all up. The powers that be are ordained of God. Then verse 2, I'm in Romans chapter 13, verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, that God has set up resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And that word really means judgment. They will receive judgment, the judgment of God. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Okay, here. See, that's what changes everything. All they will tell you, all these people and even government officials, if they know any Bible at all, they'll know this one. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. If you resist the power, you're resisting the ordinance of God, and you receive to yourself damnation or judgment. But they don't read this part here, verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now, just think about that. Present day government in America. Are they a terror to good works or to the evil that are doing good? Get into the trouble. The people that are doing evil are protected. You see what I'm saying? Our government, I believe, the way I see it anyway, they are more protective of the evil than they are of the good. And I made a statement during the message one time, and I've said it really actually several times, that all man's government, it'll always lead to tyranny. Man's government always leads to tyranny. Why? Because you put a small group of people, and in our case, a large group of people, over an even larger group of people, and it just goes to their head. It goes to their head. Government officials, senators, congressmen, anyone, sheriffs, presidents, they all get this idea, I am very, very important. And everyone needs to obey me. God even says so. So they get this attitude that they're over everybody. A true public servant has that servant heart. And I know there's good people in government. I've met several. They really, truly want what's best for their constituents. But then there's a lot of them, most of them, by far. The power goes to their head. The money goes to their head. They have these people lobbying this or that, and they are treated very, very nicely. And so they get this idea that there's something special, but they're really not. So it's just... Let me continue here. The rulers aren't a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Not necessarily our government, right? Did you have praise from your local government in California when you were alerting people and waking them up, trying to wake them up to the reality that, you know, you don't have to do this? You were an enemy, weren't you?
It was very, yes, there was a lot of hostility.
Yeah, yeah. If they were truly a godly government, they'd be hostile towards the evildoers, but they're not. He is the minister of God to thee for good. Our government is supposed to be the minister of God to us for good. And if we do evil, we should be afraid, it says here, because he doesn't bear the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Well, look at our government today. Do they revenge and execute wrath upon the evildoers or the ones that are doing good? I mean, it's just ask yourself that question. It's very obvious. So, wherefore, ye must be needs subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. So, anyway, that's Romans chapter 13 is talking about a godly government. It's not talking about an ungodly government. So, I would say to people that say, you've got to obey government, you've got to do what they say all the time, no matter what, and say, no, we don't. If they if they tell us to do something and it's not right, and they're not rewarding good, they're rewarding evil, we don't have to do what they say. Now, a lot of people would agree with me, I guess, but that's how I see it. And we should put our trust in God, no matter what, because he's really on our side.
Amen. Pastor Kimball, in the last, some of your prior sermons, you talked about how people can develop more of a prayerful life. So what can people do if they are saying, you know, you're right, Pastor Kimball, I want to turn away from government, I want to put my trust in God. How can we, what would you give in terms of encouragement for people to deepen their faith or maybe even begin on their path?
Right. I would say first thing we should do is be people who pray, and we should get into the Word of God. And people that aren't really church people, that might be something that they, I guess, will not know exactly what to do. But I would suggest just open the Bible, get yourself a Bible. I would recommend the King James Bible. That's what we use. But get yourself a Bible and just open it and start reading. The New Testament is really a good place to start, but all of it's God's Word. But just to get your feet wet, I would start with the Gospels, see what Jesus has done for us. Read the epistles, because those were the letters that the apostles wrote to the churches. And they discussed things like how to live. And that's a good place to start. It all has to also be understood. It also has to be understood that God calls us. And there's times when people just, if they're not getting it, it may be because God just hasn't called them. And we don't know who those people are, who God called and who he didn't call. But like, if you have no desire whatsoever to get into the Word of God and to be a Christian or go to church or anything like that, if there's just no desire at all, I don't know what to say to that person, because I really feel like they're just not someone who's called, because we can't come to him except he draws us. The Bible's clear on this. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, and John chapter 6, verse 44, he calls us, he draws us to himself. If you feel the desire to get into God's word and to draw close to him, that's a sure sign that you are being called, you're being drawn. And so then you get into the word. And you find other Christian friends, if you can, who can be a support to you. I mean, just like a lot of people look to you for support and they watch you regularly and you help them. And people watch our channel and I hope they get help. But any help that they get, it's the Lord. Believe me, we're nothing special. But God is. And he can take, you know, the Bible. In the Bible, he even used a jackass to talk, and he can use me too. So,
well, Pastor Kimball, when I listen to your sermons, I always get a little chuckle, because you have said in the past, you know, as you open in prayer and you're praying for the Holy Spirit to speak through you, and you say, just push Pastor Kimball out of the way. We don't want to hear from him today.
I mean that too.
I really admire your humility, and that is always a wonderful way to start. And this is so important, what you're saying. You know, find, if you feel that you want to draw closer to God, be in prayer, be in the Word, be with fellow Christians. That's fellowship. That is where we can get that support. As you are, you know, people are that are living in fear, they feel alone. And so I also wanted to share your website. Speaking of YouTube, you've got your YouTube channel, and that's here. So it's KPAC Bible Church. There's Pastor Kimball. He uploads his sermons. You can listen to those. And then also you can go to kpacbible.org. And I have some healthy Americans, I think, who have even gone to your church in person.
There.
So here you have it. So that's another opportunity. Pastor
I
Kendall.
gotta say, it is so important that you get together with other Christians. And a lot of people have got to where they don't even go to church anymore because when they do go to church, they find that it just isn't uplifting. And I know that's a problem today because so many churches have gone woke and they have, they wouldn't characterize it like this and they would probably argue this, but I think most of them, or many of them, that are just mainstream churches have abandoned God's word, and it's more like a social club, a place where you go and someone is standing there telling you how wonderful you are and how there's nothing wrong with you no matter what, never mind that you're involved in all kinds of sin. It's okay because God loves you. And see, they're not going to get the spiritual guidance they need in a church like that. And I wish all churches were good churches. There was a time in America when a lot of most of the churches were good places to go for spiritual guidance. They still use the Bible, you know, and like the well, I guess I shouldn't name any particular church, but there are many denominations. They started out so good, so good. Most of them, all of them started in the fires of revival. And they were good places to go for spiritual guidance, but the ones that were the best back then are now the worst, it seems. And so, but to get together with other believers is important. And that's why, Peggy, during all the hogwash, the churches were closed. They wanted the churches closed. Why was a liquor store okay to go to, but not a church? You see, but that's how it was all across the nation. We never did shut our doors. And I thought for a time we were the only ones, but I praise God. There was a lot of churches that had their doors open. But some, they closed their churches down. They closed their doors for a little while anyway, just because it was so scary. I mean, they made it seem like if you get together, your people are going to die. Ah! No. See, well, people woke up to that pretty quick with your help. I mean, I've always, from the beginning, I thought you had a great ministry to Americans and really people all over the world. You came up as a suggestion on my YouTube page, you know.
Wow.
It just, you came up as a suggestion. So I thought, okay. So I listened to you. And you were saying the things that I was thinking, and a lot of people we were talking about, but you were out there shouting it on your channel. And so I was very proud of you and really appreciate what you did during that time, during the darkest days of America. And you just look back at that time and you see how you felt, and everybody watching, how did you feel during that time? It was awful. And I remember going down the Hall Road, which is a road down south of us, busy, busy. All the businesses or restaurants and whatever you would want is on Hall Road. I remember going down there during the height of all this, and it was like a ghost town. Nothing was open, very few cars out. It was eerie. It was kind of scary. And so I understand how people got fearful, but we never did shut our doors. And there were a few people during that time that would have a mask. I never told them you can't wear that here. I didn't feel like that was right either. It's not right to tell people you have to wear one. And I didn't think it was right to say, no, you can't wear that here. So, you know, I let them. But they would look around and see that nobody else was wearing them and they'd take them off. It's like my wife was at Walmart and she was in there without, she actually had a face on her face. She had a face. And someone saw her and said to her, "You don't have a mask on." And she said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Well, they let you in here?" "I'm in here." "So they didn't tell you to leave?" "Nope." I didn't ask him either. So he took his mask off.
Fantastic.
See, my wife encouraged someone because she had a face. Now he's got a face. But the businesses that turned me away because I had a face, it was ridiculous. I went into an antique shop. I like antiques. I do. You should see my office. Got antiques. And I went through the door of this antique shop. And the first thing they said, usually when a business welcomes you, or when you walk through the door, they welcome you. They'll usually say something like, "Hi, welcome." The first thing they said to me was, "Where's your mask?" Right? I said, I don't have a mask. What do you mean? You can't be in here without a mask." And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were allergic to money. I'll go spend mine somewhere else."
Perfect.
And they were like,
That's perfect.
back to our subject for tonight, it's really we've got to trust in God. Government's what led to the tyranny. And don't think of me, anybody, don't think of me as an anarchist. I'm not. I'm just saying, if government is tyrannical, there's one of the suggestions for our national motto was, "Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God." And that was almost on our national seal. And I have it posted at our church. And I have the original seal. And the seal that accompanied that, "Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God," the image that accompanied that was a picture of Moses and the children of Israel going through the waters and the Egyptian army being destroyed in the water.
That's fantastic. Rebellion to tyranny is
Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to
obedience
God.
to God. That says it all.
Yeah. And so, like I said, all man-made government will eventually lead, no matter how well it starts out, and ours started out really, really good, but it's turned. And you look at America today, and I just wonder, how much longer we're actually going to be the United States of America. I don't think we have much time. It's sad because we really did start well. But when people get power and they see they can vote themselves raises, they can do this, they can do that, they can go here, all the perks are involved. They just get to where they feel like, I'm up here and you're just down here. Don't bother me." Jesus, our Savior, cries out to us, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We need to trust in Him. Government, they can help. I know the government helps in many ways. But our help comes from Him. Our help comes from the Lord. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. "I will look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen.
Amen. I think
And in
everyone
Psalm
should
chapter.
print, we should print that out. People should print those out, have them. If they're on
Yeah.
YouTube, stick it on your computer. Look at that when you're looking at all the dreadful headlines, and
Yeah.
balance that. Spend more
Well,
time in
there's
the Word than on, social media.
plenty of dreadful headlines out there. And I know that political leaders can do a lot of good, but I also know that we can't have our faith and our trust in political leaders. We just can't. In Psalm 146, let me just read that real quick,
Yes.
if you don't mind.
Love to have it.
Psalm 146. I love God's word. I just love it. I'm going to be reading Psalm 146, verses 3 to 7. It says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. He's just a man. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. Praise God. And he opens the eyes of the blind. God, open the eyes of the blind in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There's so many people blinded by what's out there, by the news, by government officials. There was a governor that I thought was really, really well and did really, really well during the all the hogwash. She did so well. I'm so proud of her. I think she was the only governor that didn't shut down her state. There were businesses in her state that shut down, but she didn't shut. She didn't make any official action to shut the state down. But then she's passed a bill to where you cannot say anything about a certain group of people. And you know what I'm talking about. And
yes, I do.
On one hand, she believes in truth and liberty. She believes in freedom. God bless her for that. But is not freedom of speech also freedom? You can't say to someone, you can't say this or you can't say that. You just don't do stuff like that in America, not the America that I know. Everyone has a right to an opinion. Everyone has a right to an opinion of me. There's a lot of people that don't like me. I'm not politically correct, and I haven't ever been. But, you know, they have a right to dislike me. They have a right to dislike you. If you can't say something about somebody, and, you know, there are things that are totally inappropriate. I get that. I really do. But the point is, do we have freedom in America or not? Something to think about, I think.
You know, Pastor Kimball, it's that incrementalism taking away the freedoms, you know, step by step. And that's the reason that I'm fighting so hard, and I have been over these years, to help people. I call it the woke place, where they have their employer that's trying to take away. It's not just the freedom of religion, because that is your belief. That is your very, in taking away your freedom of speech, those are your thoughts. So by the government telling you what you can't believe and what you can't say is telling you what you can and can't think. And in the case of religion, they're coming between you and God and your soul. And so as I have said, I have people on my channel that are of the Christian faith, that are of different faiths, that are of no faith at all. But certainly no one wants to live in a country where your right to think and believe and speak according to your conscience is squelched. No one wants that. So that's why I will continue to fight for this. And this is not something we had planned to talk about, but I am going to ask you, since you mentioned this topic, that we are more and more being suffocated, not just, you know, through the suffocation devices, but through our very speech, what we can and can't say.
Mm-hmm.
And you also mentioned your recommendation for the Bible being the King James Bible. There are a number of my viewers that would love to hear your perspective, your truth, your like a mini sermon, if you will, about who is Israel and how did people get that wrong? Would you be willing to speak about that for a few minutes?
Yeah, sure. It's really one of the fortes of our ministry is waking people up to who true Israel is. And it's a subject that really requires more than a few minutes. But we've got sermons and lessons on our channel. There's the What Happened to the Lost Tribes is a really good one to watch. I would recommend go to our channel and find What Happened to the Lost Tribes, and go to our playlist on our channel, the promises of God. That's a good one. There's a lot of messages that talk about this, but just very briefly, we are proponents of the idea and the doctrine that we, our people, are the Israelites of the Bible. And a lot of people are going, what? The first time I heard it, that our people descend from the Israelites. And when I say our people, I'm talking about the European peoples. You look at our history. Our history is Christian going back to the first century. Jesus said, my sheep, and in the Bible, the sheep are always, I mean, it's talking about his people, Israel, God's people, the Israelites, the descendants of Jacob. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Well, you can look at this certain group of people that everybody says is the chosen people, and you can just ask yourself the question, do they follow Jesus or do they not? It's really very simple. What group of people, what racial family has been Christian since the first century? It's been our people. That's not an arrogant statement. That's not a bad, mean, hateful statement. It's just a historical fact. It's just a historical fact. But the first time I heard it, I was like, this is heresy. Everybody knows the Jews are God's chosen people. Everybody knows that. So I kicked against it at first. I really did, just like many, many other pastors today would. But this belief that we are the Israelites of the Bible, you look at the promises that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Every last one of them were fulfilled in our people, the head and not the tail. And just looking at all of the promises, and that's what the playlist, The Promises of God, is about. You look at all the promises that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These promises were all fulfilled in our people. We do follow after Christ. Our people have been Christian since the first century. I visited a church in Lantwit Major. It goes back to the first century. At Glastonbury, there's a church. It's called Glastonbury Abbey. It's in ruin. It's been in ruins since the 1500s. But the church dates back, get this, to 37, the year 37.
Wow.
The foundation, not that particular building. There's a building that's there that was built in the 1100s, I think, around there. It's been in ruins since the 1500s, but that was built on the site of an earlier church that the foundations go all the way back to the time of Christ, right after his crucifixion. And there's so much you could study. Where did the apostles go? Jesus said, I came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I think that's Matthew 14, 34. Look it up. I think. I wish I had a perfect memory. But so our people go back, as far as Christian, our Christian faith of our people goes back to the first century. And where the apostles went, Jesus said, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You look at to where they went, and they went to our people. There's so many clues. One of the biggest clues as to who real, true Israel is God promised David in Psalm chapter 89, he promised David an everlasting throne. And he promised him an everlasting lineage, a royal family that would endure forever. The throne is going to endure. Your throne, God is telling David this, your throne is going to last forever. And your family, your seed, will endure forever. And I thought about that, you know, does this group of people that most people say are God's chosen people, do they have a throne? No. Have they? No. Can there, you know, they don't have one, but if they did have one, can that person trace their lineage back to David? You find that in only one group of people. You find that in one group of people, and that is our people. There is a throne. And the person on that throne has a lineage that goes back to King David. Now, I know people will say, oh, that's ridiculous. But just do the research. Do the research. At the King's College or Herald College, the College of Heraldry, I forget what the exact name is, but they keep meticulous records of the royal family. And you can trace, and it was published in the time of Victoria, there was a genealogy that was published of Queen Victoria's lineage, and it goes back to David.
Wow.
The stone that was for 700 years under the coronation chair. The coronation chair is in Westminster Abbey. It was built in about 1296, and it was built specifically to house the stone that went under the chair. Okay? That stone was in Westminster Abbey in the coronation chair for 700 years. The stone is now, I believe, or it was a few years ago when I saw it, at the castle in Edinburgh, because in 1996 or 90, I think it was 1997, the stone was removed from the chair and was placed in the castle at Edinburgh. But that stone has always been called Jacob's Pillow.
Oh.
Jacob's Pillow. Yeah, that's one of, it's got many names, Stone of Destiny, the Leofail. It's got many names. Here's a picture of it right here. Where is it? Stone of Destiny.
Wow.
This goes back to Jacob. And when it says Jacob took one of the pillows of that place where he had the dream, you know, and then there's a ladder, Jacob's ladder, angels going up and down on it. When he woke up, he said, surely this is the house of God, and I didn't know it. And he named the name of the place Bethel. But he also named the stone. And it says Bethel in the Bible, but in Hebrew, it's Beth Elohim. The place he called Bethel, the stone he called Beth Elohim. All right, well, Bethel means house of God. But Beth Elohim doesn't necessarily mean house of God. Now, let me just bear with me here. So, El, it means God. Elohim is also translated God, but it's also translated other things. It can mean angels. It can mean kings. I believe that he was saying, when under the inspiration of God, that this stone is a stone, a place for kings, when he said Beth Elohim. And if you look at it, all the kings in the Bible, where you read about a coronation in the Bible, it was by a stone. And the Bible talks about how that stone went with them, and that stone was Christ. It was a picture of Christ, but the word Christ means anointed. Jacob had anointed that stone. They got water from that rock in the wilderness. Now, there may be some comments after this that, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, Pastor Kimball. It's just ridiculous. I just challenge all to look it up. Just do a dig deep. You're always telling people, dig deep, dig deeper, dig deeper. God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob many wonderful things. Those promises have all been fulfilled in our people. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That's been us. And we are usually the ones doing his work in the world. If there's a disaster anywhere in the world, who's there first? It's our people to help. And just looking at his promises that he made to his people, I think it's pretty obvious who that people is. But you look at another people, the people that say they are the chosen ones, and that most of the church world today seems to think those are the chosen people. And you ask yourself, do they follow Jesus? They don't. And you also need to ask yourself, okay, who is behind most of the things that lead us away from God? And I'm talking about there's this really, it's like a craze. Everyone likes these superhero movies. All those superheroes, guess who came up with all of them? It was those people. Guess who came up with the sound, with the song Hound Dog? Elvis, you know, rock and roll has been a, now I'm going to make a lot of people mad. I know. I'm going to make them mad. But that song was written by people, the same people. Who runs the banking system? Who runs the media? Who runs Hollywood? So what people are trying to get people going to Christ, it's our people. And there's others as well. I know that. But you go back just a very few hundred years. It wasn't really that long ago. Our people really were the only people that were Christian. So that's just something to think about. I hope I haven't, you know, put us both in jail or anything. But
well, I really appreciate that, Pastor Kimball.
So, but I'm not a hateful person. The real hateful people are these people we're talking about. I don't hate people. I do love the things that God loves, and I hate the things that God hates. But just if you kind of know me, we've never really met in person, but the people that know me, I think, know that I'm not a hateful person. But facts are facts. And it's important, especially in these last days, that people understand who is who. Because if you don't understand who is who, you cannot understand Bible prophecy. You cannot understand why things are the way that they are in the world today. You just can't understand it. Because if you think this group of people that everyone says is the chosen people, if you think they're God's people, you're never going to understand the Bible. You're just not. You're not going to understand why it seems like most of the world is against people like us today. So, and I do not advocate hate, I just advocate truth. And the truth is, God keeps his word. He always has and he always will. And the promises that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, they're all of them are fulfilled in our people.
So that's very clear, Pastor Kimball. And those who say, some of the modern day pastors saying that what's happening in Israel right now has to happen as a part of biblical prophecy or fulfillment. I asked questions about that too. It didn't go very well.
You know, it's people have the way that they think, and that's how they think, and they don't want you to mess with the way that they think. Don't clutter up my theology with facts, please. You know,
those pesky things.
Yeah.
Well, as we wrap up, Pastor Kimball, I just want to let you know how much I appreciate your prayerful encouragement and support as a healthy American all these years. And
amen.
Is there anything you'd like to share that we didn't have a chance to get to as we wrap up?
Well, I don't know. I just I appreciate you and Pastor David, but I really appreciate both of you and what you mean to me and the whole country and the world. And I'm glad to see how many subscribers you have. I really think there should be more. And we're hoping that people will eventually catch on to our channel and start watching. But all glory be to God. So we would appreciate the prayers and support of the people. And give us a thumbs up and a like and subscribe to our channel if you'd like to. We'd like to think that we can be of help at least some. And all glory be to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. I will have a link for your YouTube channel and also your KPAC Bible Church. And friends, reach out to Pastor Kimball, watch his sermons. My husband, Pastor David, and I, we follow that every week. usually when we are enjoying some time in the car, we turn that on, we can listen, and it's such a wonderful encouragement for us. Pastor Kimball is a person.
And pray for us too.
He will pray for you. Absolutely. And some of my favorite sermons of yours are when you say you're just so filled with joy, the joy of the Lord, that you want to run around that sanctuary. And
I have. It wasn't too long ago either. We have a sanctuary where there's an aisle on this side, an aisle on this side, and I've run around it if I'm, you know, really having a good time with the Lord. We have prayer every day here, and it's really important. I don't know why there's not more people involved in churches. It's something that needs to happen. God's people need to get together. It's something in Hebrews 10:25. It says, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together." And if your church is, if the local church where you live isn't a good enough church, you know, to really, you know, because there's a lot of churches out there that have gone woke. I understand that. So if you don't have a church in your area, you can tune into our messages. And if you're close enough, come on and see us.
That's right. And that's what the government tried to do as well, is to forsake the assembling of his people. I mean, the government of God's people, by shutting down the churches. So that was so egregious. And that's where Pastor David started his beach church, Preach on the Beach. And we had people coming because they were interested, you know, in the political aspect of things. They wanted support. They wanted the fellowship. And we had people that were drawn to the message. And, you know, praise God, they grew in their faith. And that's just what we love to see. So some people actually are doing home churches as well. They don't have a place that they feel being fed spiritually. And
I know a lot of people, they've written to me as they say, "I wish we were closer, but we're not." And we have friends, like-minded people, and we get together. And some of them, they'll watch our videos, you know, and that's good to hear. That's good to hear.
That's wonderful. So, God bless you, Pastor Kimball. Thank you so much for being on board. I think we'll have to do another one of these Bible studies coming up. It's really beneficial. And I know people who are looking for that type of truth, support, and encouragement. And you've provided all of that for us. So friends, go to kpacbiblechurch.org, and also have a link for you in the description box for the YouTube channel. Check it out. And of course, you know where to find me over at my free Substack, peggyhall.substack.com. And I'll be back with you all with another broadcast very soon.
You're a blessing, Peggy.
Thank you. God bless everybody.